You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Midrash of the Week podcast. In Parashat Shlach, Moshe sends out 12 meraglim, right, 12 spies, and we are told in Bamidbar, Perek, Yud Gimel, Pasuk, Pesukim, Kaf Aleph, and Kaf Bet, Vaya'alu, Vayaturu, Et Ha'aret, they went up and they spied out the land, Mimi Bartin, Ad Rechov Levochamat, Vaya'alu, Vanegev, Vayavo, Ad Chevron. Right, we are told, you know, they went to various parts of the land, and they went up through the Negev, right, in the south of the country, and arrived at Hebron. The Gemara in Sota, Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Bet, says the following: Vaya'alu vanegev, vayavo at Hebron, vayavo mibayle. Right, the pasuk says that they went up through the Negev, vaya'alu in the plural form, but then the Gemara points out, it says in the pasuk, vayavo at Hebron, vayavo being singular. And the Gemara says, vayavo mibayle, right? It should say vayavo in the plural form. Why the switch? The Gemara is essentially saying from the plural to the singular. Amar Rava, milamed she perash kalev me'atzat miraglim. It teaches us that Kalev separated himself out from the advice, right, from the bad advice, the bad words of the miraglim, the other spies. V'halach v'nishtatach al kivrei avot, and he went to pray essentially at the graves of the avot, of the forefathers, right, which whom we know are buried in Hebron, right, in Marat Machpelah. Amar lahen avotai bakshu alei rachamim she'enatzel me'atzat miraglim. Right, he prayed, my fathers, please ask compassion upon me, right, from Hashem, that I should be saved from this advice, from these bad words of the miraglim. Now let's first look at the technicalities of this midrash. It is clearly based on a real question in the pasuk, right? Why does the pasuk switch from the plural form to the singular form? And interestingly, this midrash might very well be pshat. Right, whether or not this is the case is actually debated among the commentaries. Some say that no, there is a very good reason, grammatical reason, why it switches from singular, from plural to singular. But indeed, right, essentially, it's a continuation of what was going on earlier in the pasuk. They all went up through the Negev, and they all went arrived at Hebron. Other commentaries, however, basing themselves on this midrash, point out, right, that there is indication, one might even say proof, that Hebron is the place that Dafka Kalev went to. So in Sefer Yehoshua, Perek Yudalet, Pasuk Vav, for example, we read that Kalev comes to Yehoshua, who was the leader at that time, with a request. Ataya data, right, Kalev says to Yehoshua, et hadavar shediber Hashem el Moshe, Isha Elohim, al odotai va'al odotecha v'kadesh b'nei. Ben 40 shana anochi b'shloach Moshe eved Hashem oti mikadesh b'nei l'ragel et ha'aret, v'ashev oto davar kasher im levavi. V'achai asher alu imi himsiv et lev ha'am v'anochi mileti acharei Hashem Elohai. Right, so Kalev is reminding Yehoshua what happened with them with the spies, that, you know, the other spies were bad, and they were good, and etc. That he did, that Kalev did what he was supposed to do. Vayishava Moshe bayom ha'hu lemor, im lo ha'aret asher darcha raglecha ba, lecha tiyel nachala, levanecha adolam, ki mileita acharei Hashem Elohai. Kalev is reminding Yeshua that Moshe swore at that time that the land where Kalev walked, Ha'aretz asher darcha raglecha ba, will be his nachala and for his sons after him. Ve'ata, Right, Kalev continues. Hinei hechaya Hashem otit hasher diber ze 45 shana. It's now 45 years later. Right, Hashem has indeed kept me alive. Me'ad diber Hashem et davar hazeh. El Moshe asher halach Yisrael b'midbar, v'ata hinei anochi hayom ben 85 shana. Odeni hayom chazak kasher b'yom shalach oti Moshe kochi az ukechochiata l'milchama v'latzeit v'lavo. And he says, I'm still strong, even though I'm 85 years old. And he says, give me, v'ata tenali et ha'har hazeh, asher diber Hashem b'yom ahu, give me this hill, this mountain area, about which Hashem spoke back then. כי אתה שמעת ביום ההוא כי ענקים שם וערים גדולות בצורות אולי השם אותי והורשתים כאשר דיבר השם. Right, maybe now I can conquer this land, this place where the giants are. ויברכה יהושע וייתן את חברון לכלב. He gives חברון to כלב ונפונה לנחלה. על כן הייתה חברון לכלב ונפונה הכניזי לנחלה עד היום הזה. Right, יען אשר מידי אחרי השם אלוהי ישראל. Right, so in the end Kalev gets Hebron as was promised to him. So we see here, right, that Kalev had been promised by Moshe that he would get the land that he had walked in while he was spying with the spies, and we see here that land was indeed, in fact, Hebron. Right. So going back to our pasuk, Vayavoat Hebron could very well be Kalev. Incidentally, there are also in the Torah references, although somewhat more vague, to this idea that Kalev will enter the land and will inherit the land where he had walked. Right? You could look in Bamidbar, Yudalad, Kafdalad, and Dvarim Aleph, Dvarim Perek Aleph, Pasuk Lamid Vav. Right? There also is this idea, although less explicitly stated than what we saw here in Sefer Yoshua. Indeed, right, it is possible to say that when it says Vayavo in the Pasuk in our Parsha, this refers to Kalev, right? This is a legitimate way to interpret the Pasuk, quite possibly the Pshat. Now let's look at the continuation of the Midrash, right? He went to Hebron, the Midrash says, Lihishtatech al kivrei avot, to pray that he should be saved from the advice of Meraglim. Presumably, right, meaning that he should be able to stand strong and not to be sucked into their way of thinking. Right, this part of the Midrash is more, well, for lack of a better word, it's more Midrashi, right, part of my saying. So it is not, right, it's not straightforward exegesis, like the first part of the Midrash, but it now heads into interpretation that is not found anywhere explicitly in the text. Right? There's nothing in the text anywhere that we see about Kalev davening in that place. Nevertheless, I think what we have here is a great example of a midrash, right, and there are many midrashim of this sort, which may or may not be telling us something historically factual. Right? Did he really go to Marat Machpelah to David? Maybe not. Right? Although I must admit that the image of a member of Am Yisrael arriving at Marat Machpelah at this point in the story, and after all of these years, of waiting to return the land, it's a compelling image, right? Somebody seeking out to find where this Kivrei Avot is, right? It's kind of like the soldiers at the Kotel when after capturing Yerushalayim, Mechamet Sheshet Yoyamim, only instead of waiting for 18 years, we're talking about waiting a few hundred years. In all cases, I believe that even if we don't know if we're talking about a historical fact here, I think this Midrash crystallizes something about the Pshat. In this case, about the character, the personality, and the role of Kalev ben Yefuneh. Right. So what exactly was the Atzat Miraglim that Kalev was praying to avoid? The conclusion that the Meraglim reached after they saw the land was that the land was not conquerable. Right? They disheartened the people, right? Because they were convinced that that they would not be able to fight against the people of the land and win. Right? And Kalev and Yehoshua, right, tried their hardest to counter that claim by saying that they can actually do it. Right? First, Kalev says on his own, right, Alona Alevi Arashnu Ota Ki Yachol Nuchala, right, we can do it. Let's go up to the land and conquer because we can. And later on, he is joined by Yehoshua, and they say together in a Perek Yudalid Pasuk Zayin, Vayamru el kol adat bnei Israel. They say to the entire nation, Lemor ha'aretz asher avanu bala torta tova ha'aretz me'od me'od. It's a very, very good line. Im chafetz banu Hashem v'havi otanu el ha'aretz hazot unitana lanu eretz asher hi zavat chalav u'dvash. Ach b'Hashem al timrodu. Right? V'atem al tir'u et am ha'aretz kidach menohem. Right? And then they conclude, al tira'um. Right, what are they saying here? The fateful mistake of the Miraglim was not in thinking that the enemy was strong, because they were strong. That was a mistake. The mistake was thinking that that mattered. Right? Yehoshua and Kalev tried to convince the people that if God helps us, then we can do it. It doesn't matter how strong the enemy is. The focal point of this dispute, of course, is Hebron. Right. In Hebron, we are told, they saw, we're told this at the beginning of the parsha, at the description of the spies going through the land. Right. It says, Vayavo at Hebron, right, that we already saw. And the end of that pasuk, Visham Achiman Sheshai V'Talma Yilidei Ha'anak. Right. There in Hebron were these giants. Right. These giants, they appear in various places in Tanakh, in the Torah. And this becomes the focal point of this dispute between Kalev and Yeshua and the rest of the spies, right? So first we're just simply told this information, right, that there were giants. And this information becomes significant later, of course, in the report of the spies to the people, when that becomes the central argument as to why they are never going to win against the people on the land, right? In Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel, it says, sorry, pasuk Lamed Gimel. V'sham ra'inu et hanifilim, v'nei anak min hanifilim, v'nihi ve'einenu kachagavim, v'chein ha'inu ve'eneihem. We're like grasshoppers in their eyes. We're nothing. We're little these puny devils squash us. But there's no chance that we're going to win. The spies conclude because they saw these giants. And it is that information which, in the very next pasuk, brings the entire nation to tears. V'kisa kol ha'ida v'yitnu et kolam v'yivku ha'am b'layla ha'hu. Right. So these giants in Hebron is what tips the story. It becomes the focal point of the entire dispute. Later on, many years later, when Kalev comes to Yehoshua, right, in Yehoshua Perek Yudalid, and he says, let's reread the pasuk that I read quickly before. Ve'atah tenali et ha'har hazeh asher diber Hashem bayomahu. Give me that hill that Hashem spoke about on that day. Ki atah shamata bayom hahu ki anakim sham ve'arim gedolot bitzurot. Right? You heard, you were there too, Yehoshua, Kalev is saying, and you heard that there were giants in that place, right, and the big, strong, fortified cities. Ulai Hashem oti v'horashtim kasher diber Hashem. What is Kalev saying here? Kalev is facing Yehoshua, right, his comrade of years ago, and he basically is saying, Yehoshua, this is it. This is the moment to prove that what I said, that what we said back then is true. Right? This is the moment that I have to go out and fight those giants. And like I said, right, and this is the clincher, Ulai Hashem Oti. Right? I'm 85 years old now, Kalev is saying. But that doesn't matter. Right? If Hashem is with me, Ulai Hashem Oti, right? Maybe Hashem is with me, and then I will win. Right? Kalev begins his words by saying that he's still strong like he was 45 years earlier. Right? And this seems to be referring to his physical ability to go into battle. But I can do it, he's saying. I can go out and fight and win this land. But he might have just as easily been referring to his emotional and spiritual strength. Right? I still believe what I said back then, that if Hashem wants me to defeat those giants, I will be able to. Right? And so it's here, or there, in Sefer Yehoshua, right, in Yehoshua Perek Yudalid, that Bamidbar Perek Yudalid comes to a close. Right? And Kalev doesn't disappoint. It is not insignificant or coincidental, by the way, that Kalev's inheritance is Hebron, because Hebron itself, with or without the giants, is symbolic of something very connected to Kalev. When Yaakov is dying at the end of Sefer Bereishit, he calls all of his sons together, and he requests that they all go together, right, don't forget, they're in Egypt when this conversation is taking place, that they all go together, all 12 of his sons, to bury him in Ma'arat HaMachpelah in Hebron. And he even makes Yosef swear that he will do this. And when they fulfill this promise, right, it is the only time since Yosef has been sold to Egypt by his brothers that the entire family is reunited in the land, right? Basically ever. So by making his sons go together to bury him, Yaakov accomplishes, symbolically at least, in his death, that which he was not able to accomplish in his lifetime, right? Meaning to get the entire family back into the land together as one solid, cohesive family. Significantly, the actual fulfillment of this, right, the actual fulfillment of the promise to Abraham that his descendants will inherit the land, right, the thing which Yaakov sets up, so to speak, symbolically, happens only in Sefer Yoshua, right, in around those sukkim that we were reading a few moments ago. So basically, the Torah comes to an end without this happening, without the fulfillment of that promise. I mean, it only happens, right, when the land is conquered, right, including the story of Kalev conquering Hebron, which we read about today. So when Yaakov does this, when he makes his sons go back to bury him, he creates a sort of maaseh avot siman levanim, right, a symbolic event that sort of foretells what will happen later on. And so in this way, Hebron, right, Kalev's portion, Kalev's nachala, symbolizes already from many years earlier, right, the unity of the people, right, the unity of the entire nation together, and the inheritance of the land, right? And these are the exact things that Kalev himself comes to symbolize. And so in that way, Hebron was a very fitting portion for him. So is this Midrash Pshat? Did he go to Hebron alone? Does his Vayevo El Hebron refer really to Kalev? Quite possibly, right? It could very well be. Although maybe not. Did he pray there? Maybe. Right? But in all cases, wait, what is the Midrash? What is the power of the Midrash? The Midrash provides for us an image, right, a snapshot, which captures the significance, the essence of who Kalev ben Yefuneh was, right? And that, I think, is the importance of this Midrash.